Hare Om Sahana Gavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vigvishavahai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
We're on the Gayatri Mantra, sir.
Yes.
Thesis. Veda means knowledge, and Vedanta means the conclusion of knowledge. Vedanta and all Vedic knowledge is composed of Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana. Doubt. Besides the Vedic knowledge of the Gayatri Mantras, besides Vedic knowledge, the Gayatri Mantras also used for spiritual elevation. Are those also composed of Vastu Trayi? Objections. Since the Gayatri Mantras are used for upasana worship and meditation, aren't they only part of Abhideya or the process? Reply to the objection. The Gayatri Mantra is the most important and original Vedic mantra. Regarding Gayatri Mantra, Lord Chaitanya stated that since the essential teaching of the Veda is Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana, and as the Vedas expand from the Gayatri Mantra, which is expanded from the syllable Om, therefore the essential meaning of both the Gayatri Mantra and Om is Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana. Gayatri arte e ganta arambhana. Satyam param sambandha dhimahi sadhana prayojana. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's an explanation of the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. Quote, the absolute truth, satyam param, indicates the relationship, and we meditate dhimahi on him, indicates the execution of devotional service and the ultimate goal of life. Lord Chaitanya taught that the syllable ah refers to the Supreme Lord, u refers to the process of devotional service, and refers to the living entity. Also you get A is Krishna, U is Srimati Radharani, M is the living entities, the jivas. So therefore, that's through the activities that happen between Radha and Krishna are then supported by the living entities. So the living entities therefore become part of the Abhideya, the devotional process, right? Does that make sense? So that's why that situates them with the sambit, right? The actual process, the experience gained from that process. Right, you appreciate that the experience comes from the qualities. Right, you get it. You perform an activity; it's the qualities of the items you're working with that therefore give the experience. Does that make sense? So it's through qualities, through actively applying or interacting with qualities that you get experience. So that's then what is looked for in activity. Does that make sense? And so it's that's the natural position of the living entity. So if the living entity isn't active, living entity doesn't have good qualities, living entity is not acting for others' benefit, how will they be an instrument in the application of rasa between Krishna and his devotees. Does that make sense? So one needs to have all these things. One has to have the good qualities. One has to apply those qualities. And that application, that result, you're not looking for yourself. It's for someone else's benefit, right? So you have to have the qualities. That's your austerity. It's not being done for yourself. That is your sacrifice, right? Charities, if you get something that is used for others, whatever benefits do come are used for others. Does that make sense? So that's a, that is the position. Okay. There are many Gayatri mantras. The specific features of a Gayatri mantra is its eight-syllable meter. And it contains the three words, vidmahe, dhimahi, and prachodayat. Vidmahe refers to sambandha, the relationship between the Lord and the living entity. Dhimahi refers to abhideya, or the process of devotional service. And prachodayat to prayojana, or the goal of love of God. In the Gayatri mantras used in Pancharatrik worship, there are three stages of meditation. Sambandha, relationship, by acknowledgement, vid, of the Lord. Abhideya, the process or worship, dhi, of the Lord, by which one can develop prema. And prayojana, result of prema, which impels the devotee, prachodayat, spontaneously to the Lord. Conclusion, thus the essential Vedic teachings of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana are also found within the Gayatri and the Omkara. Okay. Lord Krishna is worshipped by the Gayatri mantra. This is a quote, this is from teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Krishna is worshipped by the Gayatri mantra, and the specific mantra by which he is worshipped is called Kama Gayatri. Vedic literatures explain that the sound vibration, which can elevate one from mental concoction, is called Gayatri. In Brahma Samhita, a nice description of the flute of Krishna is given. Quote, when Krishna began to play on his flute, the sound vibration entered into the ear of Brahma, as the Vedic mantra Om. This Om is composed of three letters, A, U, and M. It describes our relationship with the Supreme Lord, our activities by which we can achieve the highest perfection of love, and the actual position of love on the spiritual platform. When the sound vibration of Krishna's flute is expressed through the mouth of Brahma, it becomes Gayatri. Thus, by being influenced by the sound vibration of Krishna's flute, Brahma, the supreme creature and first living entity of this material world, was initiated by as a Brahmana. That Brahma was initiated as a Brahmana by the flute of Krishna is confirmed by Srila Jiva Goswami. When Brahma was enlightened by the Gayatri mantra through Krishna's flute, he attained all Vedic knowledge. Acknowledging the benediction offered to him by Krishna, he became the original spiritual master of all living entities. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So we're working on this principle. We're saying the Vedas is based on this Vastu Trayi. So the Vedas have expanded from the Purusha Shukta from the Gayatri, Gayatri from Om. So therefore, if the Oms and Gayatris aren't having all this, then how will that happen? So the Vastu Trayi must be contained in Om. It must be contained in the Gayatri. Does that make sense? So then we can see is here is that we have the first. It means the first letter is you know Krishna. Then the goal, prayojan, is the M, and then the U is the method in between, right? So that we just discussed. So then the Gayatri also, the first part is sambandha, the second part is abhideya, the third part is prayojana, right? So it's eight syllables in three groups, so each one is dealing like that. Then we see that also the Purusha Shukta, then that the that the Lord is there, he is there, his position, establishing his position is the same Lord, as the one, as the Supreme Lord. Then the sages, through meditation, remember we're saying dhimahi is the abhideya, through meditation they perform a mental sacrifice. And then through that, the whole creation is then established. Does that make sense? So the Supreme Lord, in his position, through the mental sacrifice of the sages, then the primary creation is accomplished. So there also you get sambandhavideyanta yojana. Right? And this is then on the... So we're talking about your om as dealing with the settled. The Gayatri is also with the spiritual. The Purushashukta is dealing with how the spiritual and the matter are interacting. Right? And then the rest of the Veda will then describe very nicely how the material nature, then you can reverse the process, or not reverse the process, but how, reverse the process. But how you can take the material energy and properly through understanding of this Vastu Trayi, the Sambandha Abhidaya and Parojana, connect that back to Krishna. Right? Because it's come down from Krishna in this Vastu Trayi. So the same thing, you can take yourself back to Krishna. Does this make sense? Okay. So now, any questions on this? Yes?
Yeah, maybe. Because only... three of five Gayatris we get has Vidmahe, Dhimahini, all three of them.
And then some of them have Prachodayat and some don't.
No, Prachodayat. Vidmahe, Dhimahini, Prachodayat have three of five. And those, and one of them have Om at the beginning. And doesn't have Vidmahe.
They all have Om. No? They all have a beach.
Yeah, they have a beach.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying three out of five.
Yeah.
So these three are?
Brahma and Gopal.
They don't have. When was the last time you chanted the Brahma Gayatri?
No, Vidmahe, all three of them. Vidmahe, Dhimahi, and Prachodaya.
And you have a problem. The others are not Gayatris. The others are mula mantras that you use for worshipping the deity. Because you need mula mantras for worshipping Guru, Gaur, and Krishna, right? And then you have the Gayatri mantras by which you can then worship. That makes sense? So your Gayatri mantras are for worshipping the deity, right? They're also, as stated here, to control the mind, to bring it up, to elevate it. What does it say here? Elevate it from... Elevate from mental concoction, right? So they bring you up from mental speculation. They bring you to the, where you're actually understanding a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, you'll not. So then, so those ones aren't Gayatris. Does that make anything any more clear? Yes? So Kama Gayatri has its mula mantra. The Gaur Gayatri has its mula mantra. And the Guru Gayatri has its mula mantra. Does that make sense? So does that clear the problem? Sure. Yes, no? It's okay means it didn't clear your doubt.
Because just here it says.
Yeah, but how many Gayatris do you have?
I was told five.
You were told five, so then go ask this question to the person who told you that.
So I have four.
Yes. You have four Gayatris and three mula mantras.
So Gopa is mula mantra.
Yes. It's called Gopal Mantra. It's not called the Gayatri. It's It's not Gopal Gayatri, it's Gopal Mantra. It's Kama Gayatri. Gaur Gayatri. Gaur Mula Mantra. Does that make sense? And it probably, if you check, then it's just grammatical on the use of the term. You know what I'm saying? So your Varenyam and your Vidmehe are probably the same thing. Yeah, it's there anyway, because it's the main of the Mula Mantras. Yes?
Actually, could you tell the descending process of the Mahamantra, why it become from the spiritual life to the Veda?
Means the how you say the Lord Chaitanya explains is you have the Maha Mantra, which is independent, then that expands into the Kama Gayatri. Kama Gayatri expands into all other Gayatris. Then the beach syllable of the Brahma Gayatri then expands into the material world as Om. So that's where your reflection is. And then from Om you get Bhur Bhuvah Svah, from that you get the Brahma Gayatri, from that Purusha Shukta, from that the Veda. Did that clear your question now?
Yeah.
Kind of. So we're doing better than okay. I guess that's as good as it gets. Trimurti of the three deities, Madan Mohan, Govindan, Gopinath. Thesis, the most worshipable Lord Shri Krishna is the embodiment of all Vedic knowledge. Doubt, Lord Krishna is one, but Vedic knowledge is composed of three elements, namely Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Objections. How can the same person simultaneously embody three different aspects of the transcendental knowledge? Reply to objection. We have already discussed that in the initiation or pancha samskar, the disciple receives from the spiritual master the mantras for the performance of deity worship, mantra and yaga. The process of deity worship is one of the essential items of Abhideya, or the process of devotional service. Nonetheless, the mood in which one approaches the deity is also set under the scientific basis of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, which are personified by the three deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, who are all non-different from Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore, these deities are very dear to the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 18 Takura, Gaudiyake, Kariyachena, Atmasat. 18 Charana, Bandan, Tin, Mora, Nath. These three deities of Vrindavan. Okay. Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath have absorbed the heart and soul of the Gaudiya. So that's like Gouda cheese or something. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, followers of Lord Chaitanya. I worship their lotus feet, for they are the lords of my heart. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 119. Sri Madan Mohan is the worshipable deity of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sri Govinda Devi is the worshipable deity of Srila Rupa Goswami. And Srila Gopinath is the deity of Madhu Pandit Goswami. In this material world, the all-devouring enemy of the living entity is lust, which manifests as sex desire, causing the living entity to become bound up in material activities and becoming further forgetful of the relationship with Krishna. As Sambandha Murti Sri Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid, he attracts the living entity back to his lotus feet and thus breaks the living entity's false attraction to the material world and reestablishes their relationship with him. Jayatam suratau pangur mama mandam ateragati matsarvasva padambo jau radha madanamo. Glory to the all-merciful Radha Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors, and the lotus feet are everything to me. Right? So lame and ill-advised, what would that indicate?
Oh, right. that association can't do anything?
Yeah, can't do anything, or also lame means we can't, we're unable to. Yeah, we can't do nothing properly. Ill-advised is we don't actually understand our position, right? Ill-directed. We don't, because real intelligence is knowing sambandha gyan. So, therefore, by Madan Mohan's grace, we can become properly situated in the knowledge of the Supreme, be attracted to the Supreme, because he's the most nice person, right? And then very willing to be, how you say, properly engaged in the Lord's devotional service. Yeah? Having been reestablished in a proper understanding of one's real identity as a servant of Krishna, the devotee's senses are purified by being engaged by the Abhideya Murti, Sri Govinda, the master of the senses, in the process of devotional service. Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumara, Srimad Nagara Simhasanasto, Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo, Prashtalibhi Sevyamano Smarami. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath the desire tree, Shri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit on an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. Also, we see here is this is used as in deity worship as one of the meditations. When you're doing the dhyan, then this is the mantra that's used, dhyana and manasapuja, because this establishes then everything. Where they are means you're going to meditate, so that meditation itself is service. Same time establishes, you know, where they are. They're in on their nice throne under the Kalpa Viksha tree, surrounded by their associates. Then one is able actually to be able to properly meditate. Right? It's just Radha and Krishna, not so much beneficial. It's Radha and Krishna with their devotees in Vrindavan, then it makes more benefit. Right? Ultimately, when the devotee attains the stage of prema, the Prayojanamurti, Sri Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis calls a devotee with his transcendental flute to engage in loving pastimes. Srimad Rasa Rasarambhi Vamsi Vatatatastitaha Karshan Venur Svaner Gopir Gopinata Sriye Stunaha. Shri Radha Govinda, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in the Vamsi Vat and attracts the attention of the cowherd damsels, the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Because if you get their blessing, then you come to that position, right? Because you're trying to develop their prema, right? So we're seeing here the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana? Yes? No? Maybe? Kind of? Okay?
Sorry.
Huh? Okay. Srila Prabhupada included the above Trimurti Pranam mantras from Chaitanya Charitamrita into the Mangalacharan he would chant before lectures, or when performing initiation ceremonies. Thus Srila Prabhupada established to his followers the importance of taking shelter of these three deities. In the Gayatri Mantra, these deities are presented as Vidmahe, Dhimahi, and Prachodayat. In the Gopal Mantra, these deities are present in the names Krishna, Govinda, and Gopijana Vallabha. Right? So Krishna means the all-attractive one. So that's Madan Mohan. Govinda, that's Govinda. Right? So that kind of works, pretty obvious. And Gopi Janavallabha, that's Gopinath, right? You get to hear the Gopi, Gopinath, Lord of the Gopis, Gopi Janavallabha, very dear to the Gopis. It works. Okay? That makes sense?
Yes.
Yes? No? Very good. Maybe? Okay? Kind of?
Sort of.
Sort of. Okay. That trying to, I couldn't remember that one. Conclusion. In this age, one has to be initiated by the process of Pancha Samskara, which enables one to receive and appreciate the original Vastutraya. By this process, one engages in the worship of Trimurti, Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev, and Gopinath, who are respectively the presiding deities of Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. And by their mercy, one receives the full benefit of the descending process and realizes full meaning and implication of Vastutraya. On the other hand, those who don't take diksha from an authorized disciplic succession and do not worship the Trimurti become victims of their conditioned nature and take shelter in various misinterpretations of the pure Vastutraya, such as the Vaishnava Apasampradayas, Mayavad philosophers, and other world religions. Right? So So the idea is that you have so many people who are not taking shelter of the proper sampradaya, right? So they're not taking up this process. They're not hearing from bona fide authority. They're not hearing in the line coming from down from Brahma, right? Or one of the other associates. Here we're taking Brahma because he's our line, but he also is the first, right? So then that then establishes the position. So we don't need to use the example of other sampradayas or the bona fide, because we're the Brahma Sampradaya, and since that was established first, then that, you know, the others will follow the same principle. The Lord speaking to, you know, Lord Shiva or the four Kumaras or to Lakshmiji. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So in other words, if one doesn't take shelter of the bona fide sampradaya and hears from the bona fide spiritual master, one won't understand the Vastutraya properly. One will therefore come up with one's own mental speculation. Does that make sense? Yeah. We will end this discussion on Vastutrayi, Samanda, Abhideya, and Projana with a beautiful verse from the Vidagdha Madhava, where Sri Radha laments that she's in love with one she thinks to be three different people. In fact, they are all Krishna in the moods of Sri Madan Mohan, Sri Govinda, and Sri Gopinath. Experiencing previous attachment to Krishna, Purvarag, Srimati Radharani thought, right? Purvarag means complete attachment. Is that you have what happens is in the living, this example is given, Radharani is always in this mood. But the living entity comes through this stage in Bhava where he comes to the point of being completely attracted to Krishna. There's nothing else that is of any interest. So that's called Purvarag. On that platform, then one is able to actually worship and serve Krishna properly, fully. Right? So that's why it's an important point, is Purvarag. So then Radharani and the gopis, they show this so that we understand the principle. Right? So already having obtained this position, then it's saying, Srimati Radharani thought, since I have heard the name of a person called Krishna, I have practically lost my good sense. Then there is another person who plays his flute in such a way that after I hear the vibration, intense madness arises in my heart. And again, there is still another person to whom my mind becomes attached when I see his beautiful lightning-like effulgence in his picture. Therefore, I think I am greatly condemned, for I have become simultaneously attached to three persons. It would be better for me to die because of this. Vidagdha Madhava 2.9. So Radharani thinks she's attracted to three different boys, right? But it's actually it's the same boy, it's just these three different moods. And so she, you know, being properly trained and all that, she only wants to be attracted to one boy. So here is then the problem, she thinks she's attracted to three. Okay, so then this principle of these three moods of Krishna, then this is very important. That, you say? Because everything comes back to this. One can, in other words, Samanda Abhideya Prayojana, you get the proper knowledge of it. But how they apply in relationships, in the rasa and all that, the practical application, the experiences gained and all that, then we see through Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. So this becomes very essential that these become understood, right? So these are understood. Yes, no? Because if there's some doubt, ask it now, because as we move on, generally we'll only refer to these things. And depending upon what it is, if it's not relevant, we might not address your question if it's on something to do with now. If it's a connection between what we're saying now and to the point we're making there, that's very relevant. But to have to explain the whole process, that might not. Yes?
Maharaj, I read a paper by His Holiness Dhanudhar Maharaj where he was saying that this Gopal mantra is the most important meditation mantra for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And he was saying that while chanting it, one should think of Krishna playing his flute, Krishna with his cows, and the gopis feeling separation from Krishna. So what is the proper way to chant the Gopal mantra? Should one think of these pictures in his mind or just concentrate on the sound vibration?
It's the same as the holy name. You're dealing with name, form, qualities, pastimes. It's not an artificial thing. It's what is your natural position, right? Just like when you eat, let's say you're hungry, and then you eat. So is being hungry and that process of becoming satisfied through eating artificial? No, it's natural. So therefore we go from sambandha abhideya and prayojana. That means these understandings very naturally. Unless you know who you are, who God is in your relationship, how are you going to engage in activity? Right? If you don't, and only through engaging activity are you going to get the result of prema. Is that going to make sense? Okay. So therefore name, form, qualities, pastimes. Unless you understand the name, then how is that going to bring about the form? Right? Does that make sense? So then from the form, then you get the qualities, from the qualities of pastimes. Just like if I talk about somebody you've never heard of, right? How do you first get to know the person? Through the name. So therefore, when I say, oh yes, you know, I mentioned somebody or some position, the prime minister, then you know the name. Right? Then the next thing is the form. Then you can see the form. Then when I say the name, what will you think of? The form. Now if you interact with that form or see that form doing activities, right? And the activities are based on qualities. Right? So now what's the next thing that you'll think about?
The activities?
The activity, but what's more important about the activity? What generates the experience? Relationship, but we were just discussing before.
The qualities.
Right? It's the quality of how you, it's your qualities you have that when you perform an activity that generates the experience. Because you can perform the same activity and depending on your qualities get a different experience. So even more important than the action is the qualities. So the action carries the qualities that gives you the experience. Right? So therefore qualities is the next. Oh, the person is very powerful, or very nice, or very aggressive, or you know, like this. That'll come. Then, if you get closer, then you see their interaction with others and their whole associates and where they work, where they do everything, what's their whole sphere of activities. Then comes that. So, if you only know the name and have not seen the form, qualities, or pastimes, how will you absorb yourself in those? You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's dynamic. It's not just you think of Krishna with a cow. Because it's not Krishna with a cow that's important. It's Krishna, his moods, his qualities, and the moods and qualities of that cow and their interaction that is important. We're talking rasa. We're not talking just pictures. Because otherwise, if it's just pictures, it's still sambandha. Because that's the guy that's God. Right? Okay, this time it's with a cow, now this ritual we got to put him in with the gopis and the flute, now this ritual we got to put him in with this one. You understand? It's still sambandha. So you can talk the highest rasa stuff that you want, but you're still only talking about it on the platform of sambandha. I'm sorry. And that's just the bottom line. I am sorry. But that's it. You know what I'm saying? So, but the point is it's important. One has to know the relationship will be attracted, then one will be inspired to work. That's why it's working, because it's establishing the sambandha. Therefore, you're engaging in abhideya. It's not that by hearing these pastimes, you're teaching prayojana. No, that's for the rasiks. Does that make sense? And if we're being rasik, why would Govinda be with a cow rather than playing as a flute and calling the gopis? If we're really going to be rasik here. You know what I'm saying? That's why we should stick to our own acharya. From that, you go out and take things from other acharyas. You understand? Otherwise, some people aren't as rasik as they present themselves. I'm not talking about Dhananda. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, here we've been given, means his form is very attractive. That's Madan Mohan. He plays the flute, so he calls it, then that meditation, then is the interaction. Gopichanda Vallabha. But if you want to put cows in there, that's fine with us. But if we put in Krishna calling the gopis, we don't want any flack. And we definitely don't want anyone to tell us that we're less rasik than they are. Does that make sense? That. Is that okay?
I won't do an adding this morning and criticize myself first from my husband.
Okay, so you'll do it in a more subtle way, yes. Okay, go ahead.
So, Madam Mohan, Kamila and Gopinath, so then this brings you to the move like Gopijana Vallabha, Krishna is a relationship with embodied. So therefore, then this brings us to the proper consciousness. So then, from then Krishna is manifest.
No, Krishna's manifest in all three. Because you're saying you get to Gopijana Vallabha, then it establishes your relationship with the devotees. But establishment of that is already done in Madan Mohan. Means all these three moods are there. Radharani is attracted by all three. Right?
So
here also we get the idea here. Just with some shastra here. Heard the name of the person called Krishna. Right, so that'll give his form. Then plays his flute. Then that's Govinda. And then another one is beautiful, like effulgence. You know, so all his, you know, his qualities and everything else that they've heard about him. Right, because we're dealing with Ujvala here. So Ujvala means is that rasa. Like that. That's why it's necessary. If you're going to deal with this, then you have to know the terminology. Right. Otherwise, one may mistake by use of words the different things, because here is his effulgence. So we've used effulgence here, but the term would be Ujvala. Brilliant, like that. Like, what's his name? Kusakrata. Everything is brilliant, you know. I'm not sure. Was he British, Kusakrata? No, he's American. Yeah, I mean, somehow he's brilliant in everything. So, like that. So the thing is that the Ujvala means that the rasa is so intense that it becomes brilliant, right? Because effulgence comes out of qualities, right? The Brahman is based on Krishna's qualities. His qualities, the effulgence of his qualities is what's the Brahman. So we know exactly what it is of Krishna that the effulgence is coming from. Just like someone has good qualities, they're effulgent. They have bad qualities, or they're very happy, so that quality creates effulgence, right? So it's the qualities of Krishna that create the effulgence, right? Does that make sense? So therefore, when the rasa becomes so, the qualities of it become so intense, it becomes effulgent. It's like, you know, like it's given like a fire. You know, you have just little coals, and then it becomes a little flame, and then it becomes, and it's a very big fire. So that's Ujvala Rasa. Is that okay? Yeah, so that's what we're dealing with here. So then we see that's Gopinath. Even though one can say, well, she's talking form here, effulgence, that would be Sambandha. No, there's actually talking the Rasa. Because the point is all three are as one. And so then the difficulty is it's the mood of it that you're talking about that makes it important. Does that make sense? Otherwise, then sometimes you can't tell the difference. That's why it's very important to understand this Vastatraya from all different angles so that one can catch what are the things that it's talking about. Does that make sense? So it's always much easier when it's in the three together. When you only have one alone, it might be more difficult. Because each one has all of them there. Madan Mohan is being worshipped. He is Lord of the Gopis. But the main thing is he is attracting the Gopis. But Govinda is interacting with the Gopis. While the Gopinath is that love the Gopis feel for him. So in other words, the Gopis' attraction to Krishna, their attachment to Krishna, and then their interaction with Krishna. Does that make sense? So therefore, Gopijana Vallabha is their attachment for him. Madan Mohan, he catches and captivates the mind. Govinda means he engages the senses. So that's activities. That's the pastimes. So probably you can do that, but you might find it, in case you're worried that your meditation may not be so great, try this one. When you're going through the three deities, think of the three deities. You understand? You know, you think of Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. Does that make sense? Because then, despite our position of advancement and being able to understand what actually pastime and everything is very correct for remembering, this you're remembering the deity of that pastime. So then you're guaranteed to get it right. Does that make sense?
Are you saying we should meditate on the deities itself or the description you have just given about them?
Whatever works. The point is, as we said, whatever comes natural. Right? You know, does that make sense? It's just whatever works. The point is what is sustainable is what works. Festivals are for taking beyond what's sustainable. Does that make sense? You get together, there's a festival, there's some sadhu sangha, then by their association we may hear or be involved in things that take us beyond our own daily experience in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? But the point is having said that, then what it is you can do on a daily basis, that's what you should be doing, right? And then with time, it naturally increases. In other words, it's a very natural process. There's nothing artificial. You know what you want, so therefore you'll get that. But you don't have to artificially put yourself in a position farther down the line and then it not work and get frustrated. One knows that now I am a rat bag, so therefore I am going to deal with it like this. But what I want to get to is that, right? That's what makes it special, is that despite being a rat bag, one is so audacious that one is still going to hope for the top. Does that make sense? So that kind of a thing is, that's what's, you know, in our line. Does that make sense? Then we move forward. Because then it's dynamic. Otherwise, it's just, it's meditation, so that's there, it's service. But the point is you want to make sure that all the elements are dynamic. So we know what we want, you know, who we are, and what it is the process we're trying to do it through. And we know where we're at in the process. We don't have to artificially. Point is one can hear nice things, but it doesn't matter which position you're in. It's just the higher the position, the more you'll get from it. Everybody will get something. You hear Krishna's pastimes, everybody will get something from them. But hearing the pastimes of the gopis, those who are on that platform, what they get from it, you know, is very different from someone who's not on that platform, what they get. You know, so for one's position, one is on, point five, you know. And so you hear the pastimes, and then it takes you up to, 1.5. You know what I'm saying? So that to you is a great amount. And it is, and it's good. But someone who is situated on these platforms that they talk about, you know, they may be dealing at, 80, 90, 100. You know what I'm saying? So that's why humility is always very, very important. And that understanding what position we're in. Right? Otherwise, we talk so much with Sikh, and then after having talked with Sikh, then they get in their car, go back home, where they never come to the temple, they just hang out with their wife and family and make money. And do a little puja on the side and read some Sikh literature and consider that they're way better than the temple devotee who's going around and doesn't know a whole lot about this. That's called pride. And that's why they live outside the temple and they don't do really a whole lot with others. You understand? So that's the whole point. I mentioned there, until you give up sex life, you don't really get into this. That's why Naishkarmya is so important. It doesn't mean you can't be a grihastha. It has to be that your goal in Grihastha is not sense enjoyment. That you're engaging the senses in the Lord's service, that's one of the processes. The brahmacharis, they control the senses. The grihasthas engage the senses in the fire of the sense objects. You know what I'm saying? But they do it from the platform of naishkarmya, then it doesn't matter. So unless one's on the platform of naishkarmya, it's not going to work. The rasi will not happen. You won't even taste the relationship with your own wife, let alone the transcendental. Without naishkarmya, you do not taste rasa. Because it's only when you are only based on good qualities, performing the activity to the best of your ability for someone else, you get the experience. As long as you're doing it for yourself, how you'll get the experience? You know what I'm saying? So rasa can't be tasted when it's for yourself. Very meager. It's the basic, that's why people aren't satisfied. So it's only when it's being done for others, that rasa they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you get some ladies together and that, and they're talking about, you know, previous, you know, boyfriends or this or that. It's just a talk. There's no emotion. It's just, yeah, this one, this, and that one, that. You know what I'm saying? They still get together, the guys today, you know, these old, you know, codgers that are, you know, up in their 90s or 100 like that, you know, and they all got the little heart, you know, hats on and the little, what do you call it, little medallions and that, and then they raise the flag and they talk about Iwo Jima. It still brings tears to their eyes. Why? Did they do that for themselves? Think about it. They did that for others at the risk of their life. Mundane, but the point is it gets the result. It is rasa. For the other, it's only for yourself. It's sensual. As soon as the sense stops touching the sense object, the experience is gone. It's history. It will always be history. But if there's the sense of sacrifice, that experience remains. Right? That's what sacrifice is for, because it gives long-term result. Does that make any sense? Yeah? So that's why Gita is the whole thing is the naishkarmya. From that platform, then all of this becomes understandable. Like that. Hearing about the Vastutraya from the Parampara, and you have that mood of service, like that, that selfless service, then it's understood. Then all these things will come natural. So you basically do what's natural. Does that make sense? Like that. Then it'll work for you. So you have to do what works. Okay, then what tomorrow we start on, what the date is the first one? Oh, it's inside here. Hiding. Okay. So this, you've given this out yet, sir? So you'll give it out? Okay, so tomorrow we'll start on this introduction. I will start with the Bhakti Shastri course itself, like that. So this is an introduction by Sahoji Maharaj. We'll start with that then tomorrow. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki
jai.
Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.
Sri Hari. Okay.